Hello, everyone, and welcome to TechNet Radio. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. developer experience team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Now, this is the first of a multi-part series that we're calling Dev Test Starts with IT. Now, doesn't everything start with IT? Development organizations are always looking for ways to improve their agility, their overall quality, and they need the support of IT to make that a reality. And taking advantage of a cloud platform such as Microsoft Azure, that's one way that many companies are gaining that sort of agility. It supports many flexible ways to support a product lifecycle from development through test and even into the production platform. Now, our talk today is the first of a series of discussions we're having on the ways that IT can support the full development lifecycle. And today we're going to answer the question, why? Why should we consider Azure as a good place to develop and test our applications? Now, to help us answer that question, we're really fortunate to have Drew McDaniel with us today. Drew is a principal program manager with Microsoft. Drew, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So just to kick things off, why don't you tell us all what you do with Microsoft? What does a principal program manager do?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin. So as Kevin mentioned, I'm a principal program manager in the Azure team. Program manager in Azure team really talks with the customers, talks with our development team, our testing teams, and make sure that we're building out the product that the customers are looking for and need.
Yeah. And those were great days too when that came in. I remember those days very well, and we appreciate it. So now let's set the stage in terms of dev and test, because I think we need to get an idea of what kind of an impact supporting a dev and test infrastructure can have on IT. How much infrastructure does a typical enterprise actually allocate to dev and test, maybe compared to just typical infrastructure?
It's a great question. So the amount of allocation of resources towards dev and test will often vary through the life cycle of a project. But in a lot of cases, you can see this being quite large. Specifically, we've seen teams at 2 to 3x the amount of resources deployed for dev and test purposes as we're actually seeing on just the normal usage. And so it can be very significant. But it does differ a little bit from normal utilization.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I mean, is there an average in terms of the utilization for the dev test infrastructure? Is it it's not on all the time? Maybe it's a part of the time. What does that look like?
Yeah. Now we've seen varying different degrees of that. But for example, it's been quoted as low as 10% utilization of dev and test resources. This is from a white paper by Cognizant. And there's really multiple reasons behind the fact that the usage is fairly low like that. One is the heavy portion of a test cycle comes in waves, and even the most agile continuous deployment organizations tend to have some waves of deployments that come through, and when those are going out, there's a large amount of resource utilized. Second, we actually see the fact that customers using dev and test has a little bit of a cycle with the typical engineering cycle. So, during the work days or immediately following the submissions and updates, there can be a large amount of utilization of the resources. But then maybe in the late evening hours or especially on the weekend hours, we actually see that utilization drop off. And so these, then the final scenario that we see is people setting up kind of a test environment that may take a little bit of time to set up that they keep around for experiments and trying things out. But those largely set unutilized until the point in time when they're needed. But when they're needed, they often don't have the ability to spin those up and take a data set them up. So they want to be able to have those available at their fingertips fairly quickly.
All right. Yeah. Now, it does sound kind of like a good solution for this might be the flexibility that virtualization provides. And that's what certainly a lot of IT organizations are doing right now with virtualization. They provision large amounts of resources, and they're able to spin up machines and resources and storage and networking at a moment's notice. But, even having that spare capacity to support that virtualization, that means that has to be available all the time in-house. Even though it sounds like those resources really are more occasional than needing to invest in and have always available. And that's why provisioning a cloud-based virtual machine, as an example, in Azure might be a great solution. So what kind of workloads or apps can customers dev and test on Azure?
So within Azure, we really have a wide variety of options. We actually see customers running almost anything that can run within a virtual machine in Azure. So, you know, from the smallest machines that are under 2 cents an hour to run, to actually the largest machine in the public cloud, the largest virtual machine in the public cloud has half terabyte of RAM, you know, 6 terabytes of disk space, 32 cores. So there's a wide range. We see a lot of business application, a lot of website testing. We see a lot of this across, you know, how we leverage this within the Microsoft organization, where we, you know, test out versions of Windows within Azure, as well as, you know, the typical applications that a customer would be running in their environments.
Great. So good flexibility, good scale, good performance, even performance that can support the largest workloads, and certainly being able to test against that is very valuable. And the industry also likes to use this term, hybrid cloud, when we're talking about the ability to have some resources running local, so private, the other pieces of our infrastructure in a cloud provider, and, you know, be able to put that capacity and those resources wherever makes the most sense, depending on the architecture of the solution. So building virtual machines in the cloud, that's really useful, but, you know, can my customers and can we all benefit from Azure's approach to this hybrid infrastructure?
Absolutely. So when we think of hybrid in Azure, you know, it is both, you know, running in the cloud and running on premises, but in a lot of ways, it's doing the same thing, using the same infrastructure as much as possible. Azure is built on the same Hyper-V infrastructure that many customers are running on premises, uses the same disk format. So you can take a VHD format and take that and move it into Azure or run it on premises. So you have a ton of flexibility. The connection between Azure and on-premises is what we talk about, is a virtual private network connection. And we offer a lot of different options, from the enterprise that's running what we call an express route connection, where it's over a private connection, very high bandwidth, very low latency between Azure and on-premises, to a smaller environment, if you just, you know, maybe a department level use, which we call a site-to-site VPN. So it connects to Azure to on-premises through a virtual private network that can be a hardware virtual private network device, or just using Windows Server as a virtual private network, to the lightest touch way, which was called point to site, which is essentially you can deploy your machines into Azure and you can set up a VPN directly from your laptop from your developer workstation into Azure and connect to those machines. And so both on the hardware and the configuration, so the use of Hyper-V, it's very consistent, allows you to move in and out from the tools for connectivity, the many, many options. And then finally, we have things like Azure Files, which is an implementation of a file system, an SMB file system within Azure. And so often those are used for things like log files, test status. You know, often this is just using a file server on premises. So we have that same functionality within Azure, and so you can run things exactly as you would be doing on-premise.
That's really important, yeah. Using the same tools, using the same familiarity with those tools in terms of not only as developers, but as IT supporting those developers and those testers. Now, is it going to take an IT person a long time to provision a virtual machine for the developers or for business units?
Now, that's one great thing. With Azure, we have this hyperscale, a large amount of resources at your fingertips. And once you have an Azure account, whether that's a trial account, if you're starting things off, MSDN account, we can talk a little bit about it a bit. But once you have that account set up, which is a fairly quick thing to do, spinning up a machine, whether you want to do a single virtual machine or hundreds of virtual machines, you do that in 10 minutes of time or less in often cases. And so you have the power of a hyperscale public cloud at your fingertips to actually deploy and run your machines as you want.
Wow, wow. And the power of automation, too, through PowerShell and other automation tools to make that a really easy process. And that's something that a developer can do also, right? I mean, or does it have to be someone in IT? I guess what I'm wondering is how am I going to manage a dev and test environment today, and how is that different from doing this on-premises?
So a lot of the tools that you use on premises are also available in Azure, and you have the flexibility. So, you know, the simplest thing is just doing things as you do today. So you've got that virtual connection. You can just run PowerShell. You can run command scripts and things like you would normally. However, taking it to the next level is utilizing some of the tools are within Azure. So, for example, we see a lot of customers using a thing called Azure Automation. What Azure Automation is it's a you can think of it a PowerShell workflow that runs within Azure. It's triggered based on events occurring or time-based. And so that thing can use, for example, a great example we see is using Azure Automation to check machines, test infrastructure, and if it's not being utilized, shutting them down. And then, you know, trigger based on time, you know, 8 a.m, 9 a.m, starting those machines up so they're ready. But you're utilizing tools that are familiar to both the developer environment, developer personas, as well as an IT professional. You can leverage things like the IT professional. You can leverage things like role-based access and control. So you delegate out permissions to a set of machines so that the development team can actually have full control while still having a good bit of oversight from the IT organization. And so we have that flexibility from the different tools that are specifically available within Azure.
Fantastic. What else is new? Is there anything new in Azure for dev and test?
There's always something new, but specifically in dev and test, we are focusing on a dev test lab environment that allows you to very easily set up a set of machines on trigger as you want for your environment. This leverages a infrastructure we call the Azure Resource Manager. This Azure Resource Manager and the set of infrastructures of service under Azure Resource Manager enables an orchestrated deployment of your machines. And so, for example, if you were setting up a SharePoint environment, typically you need a Act domain controller, you need a SQL database, maybe you're doing an HA and you have a highly available SQL, you set up your various machines in SharePoint. And if you're setting those up manually, I mean, that can literally take days of time. This infrastructure, this resource manager allows you to create a template that describes that environment. And then you provide that template. It leverages a set of images within that are available to customers to use in Azure. And it drives those that configuration automatically with the appropriate orchestration such that you have that environment set up in a couple hours time for a very large environment as compared to several days time. And it's completely manual or completely automated versus completely manual.
And repeatable as well. You need to do it over again. You test it. You retest it. I mean, it's a great thing. It's configuration of large numbers of machines and configuration and relationship with those machines all through code. Sounds very DevOps-y, actually.
Yes.
So how if I'm a developer organization or even an IT organization supporting development, how do I get started?
Well, so multiple ways to get started. Probably the best way to get started is if you have an MSDN subscription. There is MSDN subscriptions, an Azure benefit as part of those MSDN subscriptions. So you get a reoccurring amount of $50, $100, or $150 of Azure usage. So that's by far a best way to get started. In the MSDN subscription, you also pay lower prices. So for example, if you're running the Windows machine or if you're running SQL image, you only pay for the core compute as part of that MSDN because the software comes as part of the MSDN subscription. If you don't have MSDN, there's definitely something to look into, but we also have a pay-as-you-go or multiple free trial options to get started within Azure. And this allows you to kind of get those up and running very, very quickly. If you have an enterprise agreement, some large organizations, we now have introduced the MSDN as part of the enterprise agreement, so you get some of those MSDN benefits as well directly into the EA customer.
Well, that's great stuff, Drew. And that's about all the time we have today. Why don't you mention some additional resources, if you have any, that people can check out if they're interested in using Azure to support dev and test?
Absolutely. So, starting off with Azure.com for the overall homepage, but specifically if you did a search on Bing and you look for Azure Dev Test Lab, you'll get the landing page for this future product that we've got coming out. You can opt in to get notified about that earlier on and then a lot more information about Dev Test in Azure.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure we put the URLs on the landing page for this video too so that you all have it at the ready. Again, Drew, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, and we'll see you all again soon for another edition of TechNet Radio.